5 with pints and pairings. How does it feel?
It feels amazing.
Thank you.
It's making me warm up all of a sudden.
Thank you for coming on over and chatting with us. We were kind of guessing about. Well, Jason was actually looking at the menu, but
I was cheating.
but can you tell us? There's a story about the shark. First of all, angel shark. I don't even think I've ever heard of an angel shark. So why angel shark?
Because that is what my fishermen caught a lot of, and it's actually an amazing fish. I mean, the texture is really good. It's great flavor. We've done on the food truck. We've done a couple fish tacos with it. It's gone really well. They called. They said they had a bunch of it, and we're here to help them out. So we took that, and then we're with Anacapa Brewing Company with their beer. I don't know if you guys talked about that already.
Yeah, we're gonna get there.
All right. But they added into their beer a little bit of the oak chips and eucalyptus. And so what we did is instead of smoking the fish, which could end up overpowering the fish and in turn overpowering the beer, we took the limes, cut the limes in half, and we smoked the limes with a little bit of oak and vanilla bean for about 8 hours. And then we juiced the limes into there. We added a little bit of serrano chilies, cilantro, red onion, and we topped it with a little bit of beer pickled mustard seeds.
It's fantastic, and I mean, I had a bite of this, and it's this really great firm texture. Mm-hmm. And then I went to the beer afterwards, and there was just something
it's
magical.
Really nice. The little bit of vanilla and oak in the beer, mm-hmm. Especially because I just got a bite of some jalapeno, some kind of spiciness mm-hmm. in the fish. It kind of cut through it nicely. It allowed some sweetness from that beer to come out and play with the natural sweetness of the fish.
Yeah.
You know, most people don't think of fish having any kind of sugary or sweet component. But again, texturally, it's firm. It gives a nice chewiness, almost like an octopus.
Yeah, definitely.
And then there is a sweetness that plays in some of that oceany brine that comes out of the fish.
Yeah. Well, and especially, you know, with the beer and the ceviche, normally you wouldn't associate a lighter dish like a ceviche going with a darker beer. Mm-hmm. That's why we added the smoke element. That's why we did the, you know, we also wanted to do the heartier fish. And then we also did the mustard seeds to kind of elevate that.
I got a nice little pepper on the back of my throat there.
Nice.
The mustard seeds, though, I think are a unique touch because it shoots out a little bit of a tanginess, mm-hmm. but also an earthiness that
definitely.
You're not typically expecting with fish either.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, before we let you get back to your stand, I want to make sure that we give a shout out to Chef Tim Kilcoyne. We've got Scratch Food Truck,
which is making a huge wave right now in Ventura County.
Right.
People, like your schedule just recently got bumped to what, 4 or 5 standard locations each week?
Pretty much.
Plus
yeah,
some impromptu places. People want your truck in front of their business.
Yeah. We've been doing, we're up about 6 days a week, and we're pretty soon we've been asked about doing a second truck just because we have a lot of locations that want
You're
us
like,
around.
You're like, dude, I only have two hands and one foot to drive the truck.
Exactly. So we'll, you know.
Well, that's fantastic.
We'll see. It's keeping us busy.
And so one of them was Friday nights, you seem to be at Daryl's Couch.
Daryl's
in
Camarillo.
Couch, yes. Then the grilled cheese and jazz, is that a standard thing that's going to happen now at Surf Brewery?
No, it's actually a different location each month. We
want to
kind of switch it up. Last month was Surf Brewery. Next month is going to be Plan B Winery.
Okay.
And so on. Just kind of change the environment, change the the music, change with the scenery and everything.
But Friday lunch is standard behind Wild Planet.
Wild Planet,
which is like 2 doors down from Anacapa. So you want to experience another cool pairing.
Exactly.
There you have it.
Very good.
Danny would be upset with me, though, if I was broadcasting that people should get your food from the truck and go in and get his beer.
Well, take him one, too. Take him something, too.
Well, and one of the great things, especially for you in food trucks in general, is that so many of the breweries now up and down the coast have tasting rooms or tap rooms, but no kitchens.
Exactly.
And when we go there and we want to spend a couple hours there, we want some food.
Yeah,
some of these places, you know, these industrial parks, are great to go and kind of hide away, but they're not great for getting some food. And so when the food trucks show up, that's when it becomes kind of this magical sort of hideaway.
Our next spot we're working on is Institutional Ale that just mm-hmm. opened up in Camarillo. That's going to be one of our spots
awesome.
We're going to add as well soon.
And not to mention that just in general, a late night of drinking is always best capped off with some kind of griddled food from a truck
right.
or a
That's
greasy
right.
spoon.
Perfect. And homemade ketchup.
That's right.
It's coming out soon.
Yeah, it's going to be bottled soon. Yeah. Getting the final, just got the final touches from Whole Foods of you know, what we're required to have, and labels being made as we speak. And should be about a week or so.
So you're talking ketchup. I'm gonna derail this for a second, Chef. I want to talk about the green zebra tomato ketchup
tomato
that you made
ketchup,
recently.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever heard of a green zebra tomato?
No.
Or green green ketchup in general?
You know, it doesn't surprise me that there is a green ketchup. I mean, just talking with green tomatoes, I guess, but or tomatillos or something, but. But I've never heard of a green ketchup.
Give us a scoop on that one, Chef.
So green zebra is a type of heirloom tomato. And one of our farmers called us and said, hey, we have a ton of green zebra tomatoes. So we picked them up, and we happened to have a ton of French fries that day. We did a bunch of I made a couple different things with it, but then we still had a bunch more. And we didn't have regular tomatoes to make regular ketchup, our regular ketchup that we had. So decided to do a special one, and turned out really well. People were really excited about it.
I had a little bit of it. It was cool. It had an interesting tanginess to it. Definitely a green vegetal background, as you would expect from a green tomato. But then it had that familiarity of regular ketchup.
Yeah, yeah. A slight sweetness, and added a little fennel and all that kind of stuff.
Ooh,
to
nice.
It. So.
Sounds great. And is this something that was a one-time deal, or is this something that you're going to come back to?
It depends on farmers and if they need a little help moving some stuff.
Which is a great another aspect that we want to make sure we highlight. Chef is always looking for what's available to me, not what do I need or want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's kind of a change in the paradigm and a change in the mindset. Not, I'm going to make this menu, find the product for it. It's give me the product and I'll figure out the menu.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the way that, you know, ancestors used to eat and shop and cook, and you know, it's whatever's available. And I mean, we're here to help the farmers out, and the best way to do that is if there's something that they have an abundance of that, you know, in the next week or two, if they don't move it, they're just going to till it under into the ground and lose money on it. We'd rather help them out and move it somehow. So
oh, yeah. It gives people a different exposure to some products maybe they've never been exposed to or have familiarity with, or familiar products that are prepared in a unique way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was amazed at how many kids enjoyed it. I mean, there was...
Yeah, you were telling me about the mom and the daughter, right?
There's a mom and daughter, and the mom said, oh, no, we don't want any ketchup. And the daughter was like, no, I want to try it. I want to have some. So we, you know, gave in, and daughter tried some. They came back, and the daughter asked if she could take a little, you know, a little cup of it home with her, you know, because
awesome.
She enjoyed it so much.
It's cool when the younger generation starts elbowing their parents, like, dude, what's wrong with you? Try something
exactly,
different.
Exactly, yeah, so...
Well, one of the things I find fascinating, and I don't follow the food industry very much, but it just seems to me like this is that it's silly that this is such a revolutionary concept that we're eating things that are in season. You know, that all of a sudden this we're coming back to something that is
it's eons old. It's a fad. Yeah, somehow it's a fad. It's something that's coming back into style. You know,
it's all about the marketing. When you say, oh. We did this 400 years ago. Well, the people that I'm marketing to weren't around 400 years ago, so let me repackage it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's a strange thing that it's a fad, and it's, you know, but it's a fad that is not going to go away, I don't think. So as long as the consumer
a fad turns into a trend, and a trend turns into everyday life.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Definitely.
Excellent.
Well, thanks, Tim,
yeah,
so
for
much.
Sure. Thank you, guys.
So make sure you go to, let's see, website yet, or the Facebook?
Scratch Ventura.
ScratchVentura.com is in the works. Should be up pretty soon. But other than that, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook is Scratch Ventura.
Okay, and so then you can find out where they're at as you're traveling.
And we're going to try to get Jason over here from Anacapa, who's your beer partner,
yes.
And talk about his beer a little bit and what went with this Angel Shark.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's give him the nod, give him the secret handshake.
He may have to pour.
He may have to, you know, but he's one-handed as it is, which we're going to talk about in a minute. We're going to figure out what's going on with his wrap over there. But we might be able to sway him over here. In the meantime, let's talk about what we're tasting in the beer, at least. Let's talk about what we know, which is very minimal.
Well, it's a brown ale, and so what's nice for us is that we just recently got done doing a brown ale show.
Shameless self-plug.
So we know a little bit about it. This isn't an English-style brown at all. There isn't the heavy mouth, palate coating caramel kind of flavors.
I agree. It dissipates pretty quickly, but leaves a nice residing flavor.
Yeah, and... A nice, crisp, clean cut, I guess, finish on it. And then one of the things, this is called
Barking up the right tree.
Barking up the right tree.
What I do know about that, and he'll probably give us some additional detail or a couple of unique stories on how he acquired the ingredients for this, but we have a very distinct and well-known location in Ventura. It's called Two Trees. It's up on a hill. You can see it from the freeway. You can see it from a lot of different vantage points in Ventura. At one time, there were 13 trees up there and kind of covered the hillside, but through vandals and just general trimming and kind of a reproduction of landscape, we've only got two now. So it's well-known. People talk about it when they come to visit. Barking up the right tree is a nod to that, and he actually was able to use some of the bark from the right tree of the two. So not the left, but the right. So you may think it's barking up the correct tree, but it's actually literally barking up the right tree.
Quite literally, and the right tree.
And to give us a better take on that and probably more accurate take, we do have Jason Quadre, the brewmaster from Anacapa Brewing Company.
Head brewer, brewmaster, whatever you want to call
it. I like brewmaster because it has a certain like zeal to it and a...
We love it. For some reason, the brewmaster crowd, they go, no, I just make the beer. It's no big deal. But like, hey, come on, you're making some.
If you
harken really
back to your childhood, Jason, you know that there was a master of the universe. So why not be a brewmaster?
I reserve the term master for someone who's, you know, he's got a beer belly that reaches quite far out in front, a beard down to about the navel.
More years.
So I'm humble to say that eventually they might call me a master competency. But
soon you should just raise a glass. Like one day when you're brewing in the restaurant, turn around to the crowd, raise a glass, and go, by the power of barley and hops, I'm a brewmaster.
I love it. A little
throwback to He-Man in the 80s. There we go. So, Jason, we were just kind of talking a little bit about your beer here. It is, in fact, it does have bark in it. And now, I'm guessing it's the right tree as we're driving on the freeway looking up at it, not from the other side.
Not from the backside, okay. From behind the curtain.
So if you were to be down Oceanside looking up mountain, that the tree on the right was the one we pulled off
That's
of.
That's it. All right.
Now, obviously, it is a fixture in Ventura, so we want to minimize the impact to the two trees. But what was the idea? What was the basis for using bark versus actual components of wood?
So the real hint behind this beer came from Vincenzo, the promoter of this festival. You know, we're Anacapa. We've been in Ventura for 13, 14 years now. We're kind of the local brewery. We wanted to do a very local beer for Ventura Beer Week. Vincenzo and I got to talking. We started spitballing back and forth, and we were talking, well, you know, these two trees, they've been up there. That's like the Ventura landmark. What can you do to really kick a beer that local? And I'll be honest, I was kind of ignorant. I thought they were oak trees. So we came up with the idea of taking bark from the oak trees up top and putting it in the beer. You know, oak beer is kind of a standard thing. A lot of people do it. We later found out after we kind of started the ball rolling on this idea that they're blue gum eucalyptus. So that was a...
blue gum.
Well, yeah. I thought they were big oak trees up there, too.
No, originally there were, I think, 16 of them. We got the whole history from the property
owner. The
record
has been set straight. They are not oak, everyone.
Yeah, they are blue gum eucalyptus, which is a very subset of the eucalyptus family. But anyway, it was one of those audibles. We didn't quite know how to handle that. And we're like, all right, so what can we do? Can we balance this flavor? What type of beer will hold up to it?
So when you say can we balance this flavor, how did you identify what the flavor of eucalyptus bark was going to be initially? Did you actually chew on it a little bit?
Yes, I'm a brewer. I pretty much put everything in my mouth and see what it tastes like.
Awesome. That is fantastic. Because that actually speaks to what Chef Tim was talking about with his food as well. You know, using the local farmers, taking it right out of the ground. Jason over here is taking it right off the tree and chewing on it to see what kind of characteristics it has.
We did a couple experiments. We soaked it in a little bit of alcohol to see what flavors would extract. We soaked it in water. I just chewed on a little bit of the bark. Thankfully, the property manager was really nice, and he was like, you know, you're a rock climber. You should do this. I climbed up the tree about 30 feet because apparently a lot of people hike up there and they pee on the tree.
He didn't want you to deface the visible part.
Yeah, well, we were very sustainable in the way we harvested the bark. We took it from a limb that was kind of off the edge. The bark was already peeling. But yeah, he was like, you know, you want to go up top. Don't take the bark that has spray paint on it. You know, you got to make this clean. So yeah, it was fun. It was a good time. It was, frankly, I love brewing beers that I can do one-offs. I can do creative, fun things, and it's always nice to get a little inspiration from people doing these fun local events.
And we've tried a lot of beer, Curtis. You can't get much more creative than bark.
No, you can't. And it, one of the things I like is that this is considered the festival beer. Is that right?
This is more or less what Anacapa put up for Ventura Beer Week. Yeah. Okay.
And what's cool about this, just to do one of my own little plugs, my development partner and a great friend of Ventura County, food share of Ventura County, the regional food bank, they're benefiting from every pint, pitcher, and growler of Barking Up the Right Tree. A dollar of each one of those is going back to help Foodshare Ventura County feed the people in need here in the county.
So Bonnie from Foodshare, she was actually Vincenzo's connection to the Two Trees property, and so all this kind of came about through her knowing everyone in this town. And thankfully, yeah, she's wonderful.
It's great networking, though, because it gets a local brewer and a local restaurant a unique ingredient, and it gets exposure for a great cause as well as a monument right here in Ventura. So it's a win-win-win-win. Maybe one more win in there? Because now we're talking to the brewmaster.
That's right, yeah, there it is.
Everybody's winning. It's a good thing.
Easy there. And we don't want to get slapped with any cease and desist from, I won't even say his name. I don't want to do it.
No, don't do it. So we've got an American brown ale.
Yeah, so this is about a 6% American brown ale, kind of a dry, roasty finish, a little bit of brown malt, a little bit of roasted barley in it. And then, like we said, we put the oak bark in. That kind of adds a vanilla touch of tobacco character to it, just a little more body complexity to the beer. And then that eucalyptus, it's subtle. We didn't want to go over the top. You know, eucalyptus, if we went too far, it would have been like drinking a sauna. We
sure
didn't quite want to go that far. But yeah, it's nice. You get like a little hint of, I don't know, menthol-esque. I'm not quite sure how to describe it.
That's actually a pretty good description. I didn't think of the menthol component the first time I had the pint. My mind went to like a birchy, mapley kind of aspect.
Yeah.
But I think the menthol speaks well because there is a little bit of a finish and aftertaste
it's kind of on the back of the palate.
Yeah.
After post-swallow, you get this slight little minty character to it. And nice. It kind of balances the beer. I think it pairs really well with the fish that we're doing. It, you know, it's fun. It's different.
It does. I like it with the fish, and especially with the mustard seeds. There's a tanginess and an earthiness there that resonates well with the beer.
Yeah. Plus, the shark itself is a little bit more textured fish, and so that bodies
definitely
well with the body of the beer.
Right.
You see how more distinctly we're able to hear Jason now that the steel drums have taken a break?
Well, I'm looking forward to when I try to post this footage on YouTube, and then they say there might be some copyrighted music in the background, and then they won't let me do it.
Yeah.
Like,
but
okay, you don't need to play.
What's cool is I think the longer he has been playing, one, the more excited the crowd's getting, but two, the more the sun is breaking through the islands over there. And that actually speaks to the namesake here of Anacapa Brewing Company a little bit. I just want to keep bundling everything. I want to tie a ribbon on all the little nuances of this table next to us and Jason in front of us. But Anacapa Brewing Company is named for Anacapa Island that we can see right here from our coast.
This is probably the most picturesque place to be doing a festival because I'm literally staring at the island from which our brewery is named, which is pretty nice. I mean, our brewery is only 2 blocks away from here, but it's still, I don't think I've ever been able to pour beer and look out at Anacapa Island. It's pretty fun.
It's a nice location. Looking forward to the sunset. It may be the sun poking through for just a minute or two as we...
Maybe it'll shine upon us.
Jason, thanks for taking the time to come over and talk to us. Certainly. We want to make sure Anacapa is it 472? 47...
Curtis, you know us too well. It's beautiful. It's perfect. 472 East Main Street.
There it is.
I would be remiss, though, to our audience if I didn't go back to one of our previous statements that we wanted to get the scoop on. We wanted to get the inside headline. What's up with the hand, Jason?
Oh.
Why is your hand wrapped up? What happened?
Oh, I burned myself at work, and so this is me trying to let it heal up properly.
So this is a man so dedicated to his brew and the process that he fought through a burn during the brewing process to finish the product.
Yeah, and as a home brewer, I don't use anything nearly as caustic as what he's using. You know, I use this what would be considered baby wash to him, but it dries out my hand. And so I mean,
Curtis, your hands are so soft and supple.
This is soft, but the stuff that he's using will burn the organic material clean off your hand. And so that's why he's lucky he doesn't just have like a stub of bone right there.
You know, you make a mistake once, you'll never make it again.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. Now he's going to have one of those full body orange suits in there when he the hazmat.
If you drive by Main Street at 2 in the morning when I'm brewing, you'll see a guy in a hazmat suit. That's me.
Don't bother me, I'm brewing.
That's right. All right, thanks, Jason.
Guys, it's a pleasure.
We'll catch up with
you. Always a good time. We'll see you guys in the next pour, huh?